Amen. Well, I have been on the road now for essentially 2 weeks. I was in Arizona for a preaching conference a couple of weeks ago, and I got back into town. I walked into our living room, and an hour later, we were on the road again. And I'm not exaggerating. I was home for 45 minutes, an hour, before we were back off on a flight headed to Italy, which is quite the flight, by the way. But it was, people have asked me this morning what it was like, and it's pretty hard to sum up. It is amazing to be in a country like Italy in which history is so intermingled with the present. There are buildings that date back millennia right next to really modern structures. We were there Friday night in Rome, the city where this is most true, and we walked around the corner and it was the Parthenon. I don't know what I expected, but it took our breath away. It is such a stunning sight. And you've got to wonder, when the folks built these ancient structures, did they think that they'd be there hundreds or even thousands of years later? And you've got to think, when people build structures today, are they wondering, will this be here hundreds and thousands of years later? Are they designed for that long of a life? For me, this whole trip and thinking about this week was a reminder that so much in our world is in flux. So much is about change, and we want to hold on to parts of our past. We want to keep them around. We build our histories. But we also have to acknowledge that things are moving, that things are in this transition constantly. So, for instance, I'm guessing that whoever built the Parthenon didn't think that one day it would be next to a gelato stand. They'd probably wonder, what's gelato? But today we are celebrating All Saints' Day. This is the day of the year where we do look at our past and our legacies, where we do remember those who we have lost in our community. And we will always, year after year, be saying goodbye to someone. So what does it mean as a church, then, to carry on the legacy of the saints? We have to, first of all, acknowledge that we are in between things, that things will always be changing, and yet we continue to seek faithful living while we are here. And our scripture for today speaks of this question. We hear that God is the beginning and that God is the end, but in the meantime, what does our life look like? When we talk about the saints, we are talking about this in-between place. So let's hear now our reading from the book of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." May God bless this reading. Well, the book of Revelation was written by an early church leader to a bunch of churches in a very precarious position. Persecution was increasing throughout the empire, and there was this question that was beginning to be muttered amongst churches scattered around the world. And that question was, well, how do we keep this up? How do we keep going? There were folks in these communities who would have been killed by those with authority. There would have been people beginning to die of more natural causes. You know, many in the early church thought that they would be alive when Jesus came back again. And so now they have to wonder, what happens that folks are dying? Did we get something wrong? And so to these communities, these scattered churches, John writes this letter, which is meant to reveal, hence the name Revelation. It's meant to reveal what is really going on. Their God has not abandoned them, but rather they are in between. There are spiritual forces at work, combating the powers of death and destruction. And God is not sitting by idly. God is not abandoning the people. Rather, God is calling these churches to be part of the hope. And so the letter of Revelation speaks to this particular time. There are all of these allusions, all of these references in the book of Revelation. There are allusions to a city on seven hills, which is a reference to Rome's founding story. And just a side note, there are so many hills in Italy. You would not believe how many hills there are in Italy. But even the famous number, the 666, we've all heard it before, the number of the beast, is actually a reference coded in numerology in the Hebrew language to the Emperor Nero, who began the persecution of the Christians. And so the people in these churches look around and they're looking at the empire, which is causing so much damage in their communities, and they are wondering, is this the end? Is this all there is? Why then should we hope? But the passage we read today ends with this declaration from God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Everything else going on around you may look like it's permanent reality, but actually, it's changing. It is being transformed. It is in flux. And these people in this early churches get the choice to be part of what God is doing, to enter into the in-between, knowing that it is not yet the end, or to give up. But John wants them to know giving up means turning away from the good work of God. So John encourages them to continue on. For everything is in flux. It is not settled yet. It is not over. And so how do we read ourselves into this story of transformation? How are we a part of what God is doing in the in-between times? How do we live in the midst of this constant transformation? You know, a couple of weeks ago, two Sundays ago, I got the opportunity to go to my home congregation, First Christian Church of Mesa, Arizona. We disciples are so good at naming our churches. It's either First Christian Church or Central Christian Church, really. But that church means a lot to me. My parents started going there, were married there, because they wanted to choose a church that they could walk to. And so you can see the hospital I was born in from that congregation's parking lot. It's where I grew up. It's where I learned about faith. When I decided to go to seminary, it was the pastor of that church who guided me along the way. And I also remember very clearly, in the early 2000s, I spent a summer helping do some remodeling to the building. This was a big deal, by the way. The church, when my parents got there and when I was growing up, the pews and the carpet and all the upholstery was this really lovely burnt orange color. To say it was dated would be an understatement. It was like really dated. The joke was that there was one person in the church who liked the color of the pews. That was my father. When they remodeled it, he was the board chair. They made a pillow for him out of the old fabric that we still have somewhere in my house. But the church was experimenting with new worship styles. They were adding some guitars and some drums. They were doing the thing that churches do where they try to engage a younger generation. This required a new sound system, speakers, an update to the chancel area. The old pulpit, which was this big, domineering stand, was replaced with a more mobile version. There was a ramp put in up to the chancel so that those in wheelchairs could be elders and serve at the communion table. And I can remember when this remodeling was done, I was really impressed with the space. It was this soft green color that was really pretty to look at. You know, previously it had felt dated, and the changes brought it up more up to date. It was welcoming and warm. It was that way every time I went back. I was ordained in that church. It's where I went for my father's funeral 3 years ago. So when I walked into the church on that Sunday 2 weeks ago, I was shocked to find out that they had actually made more updates. And not just little ones. The carpet was a different color. The church had an organ right in the center, and they had removed the organ. It had stopped working, and they didn't want to or could not afford upgrades to it, and so they had it removed. The pews that 20 years ago the church fought over keeping had been replaced by chairs so that the space could be more flexible. And there was this table on the side of the chancel that I helped install. I was working with a guy who did work in the church, and I can remember spending 5 hours one day installing this table, and it's gone. They have moved it. It is no longer there. It's totally different being in that space. And I couldn't help but wonder when I first walked in that all that work I did, they undid it. You know that feeling of I put effort into this and now it's gone. Of course, my mom said, well, they just remodeled it. And that was 20 years ago. Just is pretty relative in church. But then I remembered that as I was exiting my car in the parking lot, I heard Renee, this longtime member and elder of the church, Renee, whose wheelchair had led to the original remodel 20 years earlier, shout out at me, "Well, look who's here." As I got to the door, Rhonda, whose kids I had grown up with, threw her arms around me, and John came up and shook my hand. And inside, Michelle, and Michelle is a quiet member of my home church who's been there forever, quiet but does everything, doesn't usually say very much, just lit up as I walked into the sanctuary. And then Carl, who had helped my brother and I learn to play our instruments when we were in the original church band 20 years earlier, invited me to grab a cup of coffee and told me how much he misses seeing my dad sitting in his normal pew. And I had this feeling that, you know, this space is different. This space does not look the same. And yet, it was filled with new families and young couples and other neighborhood people. It looked totally different, and yet it was the same. Warm, welcoming, spirit-filled. And I can tell you from my home church, there are some saints of that church who would not be happy that we got rid of the pews. But I do wonder if they would smile at the lives being touched in that place. That they would smile at the continued warmth that they were a part of. You know, change is one of those things that we sometimes let keep us from seeing the Spirit at work. Early Christians saw changes that made them nervous as to what was to come. Churches today look at changes and are worried about turning their back on their legacy. But I realize, looking at my church, my home church, that there is no staying pat. The promises of God hold us up. Things change. And what we seek to carry with us is not every single structure and way of doing things, but rather the spirit of love and grace that is cultivated whenever people live their lives for Christ. Because the promise of Revelation is not that the work of God is complete. No matter how good or bad we think things are, God is not done. And it is God who is the beginning and the end. We live in the in-between. There's this theological idea that I think about a lot. It comes out of process theology. It is called misplaced concreteness. It's a fun word. It's a little easier to pronounce than soteriology or eschatology. Misplaced concreteness. Sometimes we make things more universal, more unchanging than they actually are. For instance, some of the hymns we sing, an example is How Great Thou Art. When we sing that hymn, we think about it going way, way back, that our grandparents' parents' 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 parents sang it. But the earliest English version doesn't even quite go back 100 years. And the version we sing is even younger than that. The point is, it's not a permanent feature in Christian history. Doesn't mean it's not good. Just means that it is part of the flux, the change, the transformation that happens. There are so many things that are like that. Worship styles, architecture, carpet colors, pews versus chairs. Things that if we're not careful, we begin to think are essential for worship. And it gets even muddier when we bring to mind the voices of our past. What would so-and-so think about the changes? In an interview in 1989, Jaroslav Pelikan famously said, "Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living." What he meant is that we, of course, live on the legacy of those who came before us. But we also live in a new world with new challenges. Things have to be different. Change is inevitable. The question is, how do we distill the legacy of those who have come before us? How do we celebrate the saints of old while remembering that we live now? And so we, as First Christian Church in Lafayette, Indiana, a church that is 185 years old, we continue to be a place of hospitality, welcoming folks into the life of our community. We continue to celebrate the way we can be there for one another, for funeral dinners and birthday celebrations. We continue to be a place of good stewardship, making sure that the building is not just taken care of, but is used for God's purposes. And we continue to be that place that looks to God for guidance. So today, as we remember those folks who we have said goodbye to in the past year, as we celebrate the names which have meant so much to us, folks whose fingerprints are all over everything we do here, we continue to carry on their legacy. They are the saints of First Christian Church in Lafayette, Indiana. And today, as we go to the communion table, we will be lighting a candle in remembrance of those we have said goodbye to. We will be inviting them to this meal, to this space. It is not the way it has always been here. And yet, we can feel in this time, in this place, their continued presence and guidance. So let us pray. O Holy God, this morning as we gather, we pray that you might continue to give us your vision for this place, that you might continue to lead us in this in-between time, that you might continue to be a force, that you might continue to be a spirit which permeates all that we do. We give you thanks today, O God, for all that have been here, who have served, who have given of their time and talents and energy. We pray this in your name. Amen.